All right, I'm going to have to move this thing because I can't stand still. We're doing the lectionary for the next couple of weeks before August 25th, so I'm not choosing topics here, right? The scriptures are sort of set. I'm trying to select from the five, right? So you get an Old Testament passage that's a lectionary passage, a psalm, an epistle, a gospel, right? So we're going to look at the Old Testament passage from Genesis and the New Testament in Hebrews. And the themes here are pretty clear, right? You get the story of Abraham, and then you get the faith chapter in Hebrews about faith, and Abraham gets mentioned. So, you know, this doesn't take rocket science, but this is going to be one of these sermons that's super easy to say, and for all of you to say. And you would leave and you'd be like, oh yes, faith. Faith's very good. We should have faith. Really easy to say, not complicated, and super hard to live.
Yes.
So what I want you to feel in the midst of this is, what does this look like in my life? What kind of challenge does this pose, not for my beliefs or my words, but in how I actually live, how I risk and how I trust? We okay with that? So that maybe that will frame it. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about Abraham. So you just got a tiny little snippet of Abraham. The story of God's relationship with Abraham starts in Genesis 12. The first thing God says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your land, your family, and your father's household for the land that I will show you. Yes, hi, my name's Abram. Thank you, Lord. Nice to meet you. Get out of here. Go move, right? Pick up all your stuff. So Abraham gets this call. And it's crazy, radical. In the ancient world, to uproot your entire family, to leave your household means that, what you did for a living was based on your land, right? Your whole economy, if you're near the ocean, you fish, and if you're somewhere else, you might be a shepherd. If you're in the mountains, you might do something else, right? But your whole way of living. So you're going to leave all the security of family, all the security of economy, and you're going to go where God tells you, right? This is sort of how it starts. So Abram does. And God blesses Abram and his family with famine. Yes, thank you, Lord. I said yes to you. And then so he's got to like scurry off to Egypt, right? This is like a common theme. It happens again at the end of Genesis. We're always like, no food in Israel or whatever. No food where we're at. We got to go to Egypt. And so he ends up there. This is when, you know, Abram's great character is not so great, right? He's like telling his wife, hey, tell everybody you're my sister. Because if they think you're my wife, they're going to kill me, right? So they got to pretend that they're brother and sister, and Sarah gets abused, and that, right? So it immediately goes from leaving my land and trusting God to turmoil, to like deceit, to all kinds of struggles. Abraham has to live through like Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot, right? It's not like the path was easy. Maybe the biggest challenge for Abraham, they're barren, so he is sort of the patriarch, and yet he and Sarah cannot have children. So in the passage we read today, there's a lament about, I'm not going to have any children. My heir is going to be a non-relative. And God says, no, 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 you will have a child, right? So in verse 15, right, the Lord's word came immediately to Abram, this man will not be your heir. Your heir will definitely be a biological child. Look at the sky and the stars, and your descendants will be this numerous. But for Abraham at this point, I listened to you and left my land. That's caused me nothing but trouble. Now I have no children, but you say I'm going to. Yeah, I'm like 100, right? Like I'm well past the age of having kids. And now I know biblical ages are weird. I don't know how to make sense of those in our, like I'm not good at math already. But I can tell you, scripture makes it clear, he and Sarah are well past the age to have children. She laughs, right? Sarah laughs when she hears that she's supposed to have a biological child. So God seems to be sort of demanding a lot here of Abraham and Sarah in terms of trust and whatnot, right? But sure enough, it happens. And she does get pregnant. God then inserts an even more difficult scenario for an adult man, Abraham. What's the covenant going to look like? Well, now that you have a child and all that, your covenant is you're going to circumcise every male. You'll do that when they're babies, but not you, Abraham. I don't even know what to say about this, right? Like, this is like, so I've left my land. You've put me through turmoil. I'm now a dad. I got a bad back. I got chronic illness. I can't even barely lift my baby up. And you give me a kid, right, a child. And now I'm supposed to be circumcised? Oh, but it doesn't stop. Right? That doesn't. You thought that was where it is. So Isaac is born. Sarah and Abraham are excited. Oh, the child of promise, descendants as numerous as the stars. And then, we're not going to spend, I mean, I've done sermons on this before. I'm sure I will do it in the future, right? We can talk about it. But then God comes to Abraham and says, I want you to sacrifice Isaac, the child I gave you, the miraculous child, the child of promise. And Abraham's like, okay. This is one of the most challenging passages, right? Kierkegaard writes an entire book just trying to struggle with this issue of faith. Of course, in the end, Abraham trusts, makes the movement, and God provides a ram in the thicket, and Isaac is not sacrificed but spared, right? But that's, in some ways, like the culmination of Abraham's story. And then we begin to track Isaac and Jacob and others, right? But this is a tumultuous journey that Abraham is on, that Sarah, that they are on. And the Bible, in Hebrews in particular, but in lots of places, he gets heralded regarding faith, right? Abraham's faith is sort of modeled. So here's my question, my congregational question for you, where you get to participate. What does Abraham teach us about the essence of faith? What are faith's core features, right, as displayed in the life of Abraham? Because that might help us then figure out, when we say faith, which is easy to say and hard to do, what it might mean for us. So what does Abraham teach us, show us, demonstrate us about the essence of faith? Help me out.
Obedience.
So faith is about obedience. Obedience to who?
To God.
Yeah. Yeah, faith is about obedience to God. So then there's an assumed movement I have to make. I'm not intellectually assenting to something, merely, maybe not even at all, but I'm obedient. Yeah.
You have to be willing to listen to God.
Oh, good.
Be open.
So before we even get to faith and obedience, maybe there's a pre-movement of like listening. Abram hears the call to go to another land, right? Well, God's never come to me in a burning bush, so I've got to do a lot of listening in my life, right? It would be great if I just could get an email or something. It would be like a weekly update. But listening becomes so vital, because how do I know how to be obedient? Yeah.
Don't expect it to humanly feel good.
Faith is not some guarantee that it's going to make life easier or that you'll even understand it.
Amen.
Right? Like, I want faith to make sense. I want it to be rational. I want to say like, oh, here's the call. I understand that. But that's not always what happens. And for Abraham, it doesn't feel good. It's difficult. And I'm guessing he doesn't understand it always. Right? That's hard. That's a tough place to exist. Yeah, Priscilla. Trust. Yeah. Faith, I want to, as much as I can, separate it from belief. We think of faith like intellectually assenting to hard things like resurrections or creation out of nothing. But really, what faith is about is some kind of obedience, some kind of trust, an ability to say, I don't fully understand, but I'm gonna take that step, right? Faith is like Abraham saying, okay, I'll move, right? Yeah. Raisa had her hand up, sorry, and then...
I wanted to say...
Priscilla stole it.
I'm
great.
So sorry. I did not read your mom.
Oh, man. Oh, there's going to be fights like Cinnabon up in here right now. Christelle.
Okay, so faith is the response of the human spirit to the word of God. So if God tells you, okay, you go there, you're like, but God, maybe go in the army, you're like, God, they're going to kill me. So you just remember that God said, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. So you just respond to the word of God accordingly and believe in Him.
Hmm. Yeah. So that's a like those sentences are like, oh, that's so good. But the challenge is I don't know how to do it. Yeah. That's the key, right?
Yeah.
You have your spirit has to connect to the word of God, the words of God, the presence of God in a way that says it might be dangerous, it might cost me something, I might not fully understand, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
How do we get there? Ooh, but I love it. That's great. Yeah, Chris.
You have to suspend judgment. Suspend judgment.
Yeah, okay, how? Or what do you mean by that?
If there's an old guy mutilating his penis or yes. So he did not, like, you cannot judge.
That is a visual right there.
Yeah. This opens up all kinds of theological problems that I simply can't address today. Suffice it to say, if someone tells you that God told them to kill their child, please contact CPS. I don't know what else to tell you except like I'm not. I don't want to be right. But this is the struggle of Scripture with the reality we live in now. Like Abraham looks crazy. Abraham looks like a horrible father. Abraham looks irresponsible. So as a Christian, I want to say we have to be open to the call of God, to the miraculous, to the impossible. But I also like have this tension with myself. This is we also have to protect children. We have to like. I want to worship a responsible God. I don't know, right? This is like a tension of living, like a paradox of faith. Like, how do I crucify my reason, but also like I can't do that entirely. Okay, so Abraham teaches us a lot about faith. It's not going to make perfect sense, and it's going to cause something, and it's going to be a movement. It's going to be about trust. It's going to be about listening. It's going to be about obedience. The goal of the Christian life is then to figure out what those steps might look like to make those movements possible, right? Like, what can I do each day in small ways that might open me up to the call of God, that might give me enough faith to live faithfully even when it hurts or when I don't fully understand, right? If you think, it's like, I say this all the time. You know what, when I'm a parent, you know what I really want? I want the moments when like my son comes to me and is like, Dad, I have a question. Like, I have a problem at school, there's a bully. And I say, son, Jesus says you should love even your enemy. And like, there's a tear that trickles down his face and he's like, thanks, Dad. That's what I'm gonna do, right? And then he does it. And the bully's transformed and they become best friends and they write a book together and I get mentioned in the acknowledgments. Like, I want these large moments. That's what I want. But here's the reality. If I don't show up a little bit every day, if I don't listen to my son and his dreams in the morning, if I'm not like thoughtful, compassionate, then he's never going to share with me when it really matters. The big moments will never happen. Yeah. You think that somehow you're going to do nothing and then be able to like quit your job, move to Africa, become a missionary? Like, it doesn't work. You only hear the call through tiny steps that equip you to make the larger movements of faith.
Yeah.
But that costs me something each day. That cost me lots of little moments of convenience and time and listening, right? So I'm going to say a little bit about faith from my perspective. When I think about faith, Christian faith, I think about faith equipping me to live in a way that simply isn't possible without God. So, does it take faith for me to start a new job? Sort of. Like, there's trust, but that's not Christian faith, right? Like, it takes faith for me to get married. Like, I don't know, I hope, 23 years old, right? I hope we're the same people when we're 50 or whatever. Hope she still loves me, right? There's a faith involved, right? We're not fully finished people. There's all kinds of trust that you have to extend. You don't have all the answers. You don't have a guarantee. But I'm not sure like that leap of faith requires God. People do it all the time, right? Faith allows me to live in a way I couldn't otherwise without God in my life, without God being a part of it, right? And I think Hebrews helps in some way here. Hebrews chapter 11. So Hebrews chapter 11 says, all these people died in faith, Abraham, they've got a list, right? Jonah. So these different heroes of the faith are listed in Hebrews 11. So these people, these saints of faith died without receiving the promises, but they saw the promises from a distance. They didn't get there, but they saw the promises. They confessed that they were strangers and immigrants on earth. I'm going to use the term resident alien. In our series on exile, we're going to talk about this a lot. If you're a Christian, right, then in some ways, wherever you live, you don't fully belong, right? Because we're trying to live into the kingdom of God in some way. Like, that's our home. We talk about dying as a homegoing. Yeah. So I fit in to some extent here, but not fully. I'm an immigrant here. I'm a stranger on earth. People who say this kind of thing make it clear that they are looking for a homeland. If they had been thinking about the country that they had left, like, oh, I long to go back to that country, maybe they could have returned. But at this point in time, they are longing for a better country. That is a heavenly one. God isn't ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared a city. Right? That's faith. So let me tell you what that means. I'm an immigrant, I'm a stranger, I don't fully belong here, I'm always kind of displaced, I'm always, as a Christian, a little bit in exile. If I'm going to live in a world that calls me to certain things, and God, who's calling me to other things, I'm called to live into this kingdom even now, that requires an incredible amount of faith. I can't do it without God. I can't possibly live into an upside-down kingdom when it's compared with the world. I can't live set apart. I can't live as an exile, as an immigrant, well, if I am not tied to God in trust, in obedience, in love. I can't do it. You can't do it. We can't do it. So as my faith slips, which it does all the time, it's just absent, right? Then it's just easy to buy into the liturgies of the world that want to structure me in a particular way that's often not how Christ might want me to be structured. So I've got to be willing to risk, to look ridiculous like Abraham, to look foolish, to seem silly. That's what faith calls me to. Like last week I talked about becoming stone catchers. So Christians, we don't throw stones, we catch them. We are the barrier between the broken and marginalized and those that might throw stones, and we, right? So we're measured in some ways by the number of calluses we have on our hands at the end. How many stones did we catch? But to be a stone catcher is to look foolish. Why would you choose a downward trajectory? Why would you serve God when it costs you financial success, comfort? Why would you be part of a community that you're going to come and get challenged every week to like live a different way? Faith. Trust. So this might happen, I'm going to argue, in big ways and in small ways. I'm going to talk about each really briefly. Abraham gets challenged in big ways. Like, you're going to look like a fool to everyone around. Your family, the people that see what you're doing. No one's going to understand you. Some of you are being challenged in large ways. You have felt a gnawing. You have felt the Holy Spirit. You understand and recognize that there's a leap ahead of you. To foster children, to quit seminary, to change jobs, to risk for your passion and your vision, to become a missionary, a call to ministry, to forgive an enemy. Some of you are being nagged at to make large choices for God. For 2 years, I had that feeling and had no idea what to do with it. You might feel this way. I didn't know. I don't. So I'll just make a suggestion that you pray, here I am, Lord, send me. The dangerous prayer, don't pray it unless you're ready. Here I am, Lord, send me, and just wait, just listen. But you know something's coming for your life, for your heart. Don't dismiss it, don't rationalize it. Listen and wait on the Lord, right? Because that's those movements of your life, like that's these are the punctuation marks of your faith. So Abraham's asked to do a lot. Not all of it makes sense. But he clearly had a connection that allowed him to make those movements. Some of you are here and you don't know what to believe. You're not even sure you are Christian at all. You don't know what the voice of God sounds like from anything else. I get that. That makes sense to me. I would say 49% of the days I wake up, I'm not sure what I believe, right? So I'm just trying to figure out what it means in the midst of doubt to keep living faithfully, right? To keep moving towards God. So what I will challenge you is just in little ways, just little things. Slow your life down. Read something that moves you. Connect to God directly in prayer. Maybe you connect to God in nature, or maybe it's in music or art. Find a way to slow your life down and just allow for tiny little steps, right? So I asked Kelly if I could share, right? She's called this the year of yes. This is her year of yes. So she said, I'm just going to start taking risks. So something more in my life is necessary, is needed. So it was things like she did improv. She took an improv class. Terrified her. She started knitting. She got a new job. And she talks about, like, I don't know what's happening. All I know is that every day, like knitting, I'm just trying to add another stitch. I'm just another little stitch. And if every day suddenly she's got this beautiful scarf that's made, it's just a tiny movement. Tiny, small things. And you don't think they're connected, but improv forced her to confront her fears, to try new things, which she then experienced joy, which allowed her to say, well, maybe I could do knitting then. Oh, and suddenly now she's broken open. She just got offered a kind of a scary thing where she might be doing some event plan. She says she's ready. It's the year of yes. Tiny yeses. The last thing I'll say as we begin to close. Sometimes, for some of you, depending on where you're at, faith is literally nothing more than hanging on for one more day. Amen. Faith is nothing more than I would call fierce patience. Mm-hmm. Just like ferocious patience. You're just going to cling. Keep breathing in and out. Keep making it worth. Sometimes faith has nothing to do with moving mountains. It has everything to do with just sitting still with your pain, with your anguish, and not running, and not distracting, and just sitting with it, reaching out to a friend, asking for help. Sometimes that's like maybe the biggest leap you're going to make when it comes to faith. Sitting still, being patient, waiting on God, existing for one more day. And if that's you, there's no shame in that. There's no shame in all I've got is faith for this moment. Right? But don't do it alone. Right? You don't have to do it alone. There's tons of faces here that would love to do it with you. Yes. Let's pray. Lord, my prayer is that we would be open to your Spirit in ways big and small, that you would make it known and clear what you are asking for us, and that you would give us the courage to be obedient, that you would give us enough peace to trust, that you are calling some of us to make big changes in our life, big changes and decisions. And I pray, Lord, for clarity, and I pray for faith. And some of us, Lord, are confused and lost. And what we need is just enough faith for the next step in our journey, the next yes to you. I pray for that. And for some of us, we're just clinging and holding on, Lord. And for them, I pray your Spirit will be poured out in a powerful way, that they are loved children of God and not alone. We can't do this, Lord. We need you to show up first. Amen. Please stand for our closing song.
Letting go of every single dream.
I'll try to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest.
Mighty warrior, king of the fight,
no matter what I face, I'm by my side. If you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't hug the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you.